Well, we want to appreciate the mercies of God to us and the help that He's given us. This morning, I'd like to look at a verse in Colossians, the third chapter. It's kind of been impressed upon my heart. Colossians, the third chapter and the 16th verse, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." That's a powerful verse. There's a lot. There's a lot in there, but I want us to think about the first part. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. And that richly has the idea of wealthy, abundant. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. It's just full of treasures. And, you know, we don't want the Bible to become the scriptures. We don't want them to become mundane or boring, or we want to recognize the value of them and lift them up in our lives and make them preeminent in our heart and our life, that our soul is hungry and thirsty, and we're putting the Word of God. Now there's I want to go to Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews, the first chapter. In the first verse, it says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Now, I believe all the Word of God is good. I love the prophets. I love the Old Testament scriptures. I love everything that God has given. But the paramount thing is that God has spoken to us through His Son. That is the main means that God has used and chosen to communicate with us, is through what Christ brought us, what He taught. And so we want to recognize the value of, you know, we can have the idea of, well, I've heard it before. I believe God's got depths we haven't even... You know, I was looking out at the starry sky last night. God's got things out there, I believe, in His Word that will amaze us and marvel, just like looking at the starry sky at night. It's just an amazing... God has things to reveal to us. He has things to open up to us. But we've got to spend time in the Word. We've got to give ourselves, and we have so many exhortations to meditate upon Him. Give thyself wholly to them. Let it be in our thoughts. Let it be working, memorizing. You know, we never get too old to memorize. We don't get too old to memorize. We graduate from high school. We can still memorize verses. That's just not for children, young people. God uses those. Those scriptures that we memorize, those scriptures that we work, meditate upon, God begins to open up. That's how He speaks to us, is through His Word. Now, if we're seeking the will of God and we're looking to Him for Him to speak to us in other ways, we don't want to underestimate that God has spoken to us through His Word. He spoke in times past by the prophets. He spoke through different people. And God uses a lot of different things to speak to us. But the main thing that we have is the Scriptures. The inspiration of the Scriptures. And everything that God reveals, whether it's dream, whether it's an angel from an angel that Paul mentioned in one place, it has to coincide with the Word of God, or we can't trust it. It seems like today that a lot of people are putting a lot of stock in their own thoughts, in their own ways. And I guess that's just part of human nature. We value our thoughts. We value the way we see things and look at things, but it really doesn't, if it's not supported by the Scriptures, it really doesn't mean anything. Our thoughts don't really mean, if it's just from the human, if it's inspired by God, it's different. But if it's just human thoughts, there are so many thoughts and ideas in the world today. On our trip, somebody made the statement to me in conversation. They made the statement. They said, I feel like we need Christianity and I feel like we need psychology. Christianity and psychology. I've been thinking about that quite a bit. And I can understand where the person's coming from. And I want to say this. Sometimes when we have gone through a failure in our Christian experience, it will cause us to begin to question what happened. And it will cause us sometimes to question the Scriptures, to question the Holy Spirit. But I believe this morning that God has the answers. I don't know about psychology. I'm not a psychologist. If what the psychology is teaching, if it is in harmony with this, amen. Amen. That's good. If it's not in harmony with this, I'm not going to put any stock in it. I believe God has the answers. And it brought out in Sunday school this morning, the thought that came to my mind was the lamb that opened the book, the seven seals. He saw a lamb and it was filled with, he had seven horns and seven eyes, it says, which are the seven spirits of God. You know, there's things that stump us. There's things that we don't know that kind of can stump us and throw us. There was nothing that stumped Christ. There was nothing. He had an answer for every situation that He met. He had, because He was the fullness of God. And I feel like if there's been a failure, I can look back. You know, Brother Galen mentioned going up the path in the mountain and looking back, and you know, it's not because God is not God, and it's not because the Word of God doesn't work. But I'm going to say we're human. And I know those that have gone before us were human, and I know they made mistakes too. Godly people, righteous people, have had blind spots. They've made mistakes. They made errors. Does it mean the Holy Spirit was faulty? No, I don't believe so. But in our humanity, sometimes we come short. Sometimes we fail to recognize some of the things that we need to recognize. I believe the Lord wants to teach us. And we want to be in a place of being able to be taught, of having a humble spirit and not feeling like I have it all and I know all the answers. I feel like we need to be in a place of humility before God as a child. Lord, I need you to teach me how to succeed, how to gain victory, how to allow the Word of God to work in my heart and in my life. God says He filled the hungry with good things, but the rich He sent empty away. Those that were rich within themselves, they knew it all. They didn't feel like they needed anything. They didn't get anything. I thought about this verse that talks about pride. What's that? Pride goeth before a fall. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. So Lord, help us today to recognize. I believe the answers are in the Scriptures. Every question that we might have, every problem that we might have, every difficulty that we may have in our life, I believe there's an answer in here. There's an answer in God. And Lord, help us to lean on Him. When I was young and newly saved, I got to spend some time with Brother Albert and Sister Margaret in their home. I appreciated them very much. Brother Albert was at a point where he couldn't see very well. I don't think he could read. He would listen to tapes, to the Scriptures through tapes. But I remember I had a lot of questions. And what impressed me, Sister Margaret would say, "Well, let's look into the Word." I'd have a question. That was her response over and over and over. Let's look into the Word. You know, it's like my thoughts really don't mean anything. I mean, that's what I was getting. You know, her thoughts, she said, "Let's look into the Word." And that impressed me. And we want to lift, we want the Word of God to be preeminent. We want it to have a valuable place, a lifted up place in our hearts, in our lives that we value. And that one verse is such a challenge that said, "I have esteemed thy Word more than my necessary food." In other words, more than my fleshly appetites and desires, the Word of God, I esteem that higher than my own wants and desires. I believe that's important for us. And I believe sometimes when there's a failure, I believe there's usually a disconnect on our part somewhere. I don't believe it's God. And I know some people, they blame God for things that have happened and troubles and failures and things. I believe it's on our side. I don't believe it's because the Word of God doesn't have the answers. It doesn't have the power. I believe it's all there. But sometimes there's a disconnect on our part, and we're not getting what God wants us to get. There's another scripture in 2 Timothy, the third chapter I wanted to get. Second Timothy, third chapter, he says in 13th verse, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now I want to notice here what he's saying. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Although men wrote it, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. God gave the inspiration. But they're profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. But then it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and do all good works. You know, when you read just the general teaching of the scriptures of Christ being all in all, that Christ has the words of eternal life, the Lord has a place for us to be. And I believe this, the man of God may be perfect. I don't believe that's absolutely saying that we're not going to make any mistakes. I believe this perfect is referring to maturity. Another place it talks about a perfect man. It's talking about spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. Now, when we do mature, our mistakes become fewer, hopefully. We learn, we mature. It's just like an occupation. When you learn, you know how to do an occupation, you find out what fails and what succeeds and what accomplishes. And I believe it's that way spiritually. We mature and our mistakes do become fewer. But I want to say we're still human. But I believe that God has everything that we need. I don't think we need to look outside of God for our help, for our blessing, for knowledge and understanding. I don't believe we need to look to the world for answers. I believe God has them. We've just got to get that connect that we can get the understanding, that we can grow an understanding of what the scriptures are teaching us. Now I know sometimes failures become 2 Timothy 2:15. I wanted to get this verse. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings. That word babblings means empty talk. It's just human thoughts, human ways. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. And verse 18 says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. But it said, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, there's something about balance, and there's been people read the scriptures, get a strong impression, they run with it. And I have a tendency that way. I don't know if any of you do. I tend to take things kind of to the extreme sometimes. If a little exercise helps, a whole bunch will help more. If a little something is done, then I want to go. But in this, there's a balance. There's a rightly dividing of the word of truth. And I believe people have erred. They took out of the word of God, they've taken a scripture, and it becomes everything. It becomes their identity. It becomes to the point of disregarding other scriptures. That's what I'm trying to say. They'll take this to the disregard of other scriptures that would help balance. Because sometimes you read something and it's hard to get a hold of what it's really saying. You know, one of the things I struggled with, I talked about cutting your hand off. If your hand offends thee, cut it off. What's he mean? What's he talking about there? You know, there have been people that have cut their hands off reading that scripture. But there's other scriptures that help us balance that out, that help us to rightly divide. That's an extreme example. But we've got to study, and I believe in the Romans or Corinthians, it talks about comparing spiritual with spiritual. I believe that's talking about comparing scriptures with other scriptures and bringing them together. And I've mentioned it before, but I'll say it again. The more connections that you can make in the scriptures, you take one scripture, you can draw a line through it any direction you want to. You can justify it anyway. One scripture. But if you begin to plot, you remember in math we used to have to plot on the graph, plot the lines on the four quadrants. The more dots you plotted, it gave you a path. It gave you a line. And you were able to recognize and identify the line. And I believe that's the way it is in our spiritual life. You know, we need to have a prayer on our hearts that God would help us, that He would open up the Scriptures to our understanding. I know sometimes we can get in places where it's just like we're not really getting much out of the Word of God. And I believe there's times like that. I believe you can read and it just seems like you're not feeling like you're getting very much. But that doesn't mean we should quit and begin to look somewhere else for the answers, because God has the answers. But He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I believe as we ask God to help us and we give our minds, I believe He'll open up to us, and it will begin to feed our heart and our soul. It will nourish us and help us in our life. But I believe God does have the answers to our problems today, our troubles. Sometimes we need to get desperate before Him and cry out to Him and seek Him with all of our hearts to have some of those things revealed to us, to help us to recognize. Another scripture is encouraging, where He was talking about there in John. I'm sorry I didn't write this one down, but He said when the Holy Spirit would come, He would lead you into all truth, that He would guide you and direct you. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants us to see the truth of situations. He wants us to see truth of who we are, our weaknesses, our strengths. He wants us to see truth. And I believe God can reveal truth to us, and He can reveal things to us if we're really looking to His Word and we're studying the Word of God. That's the main thing. You want to hear from God? Get into good Bible study. Spend some time in the Scriptures, comparing Scriptures and praying, asking God, show me, reveal, and spend time studying. And God will speak, because that's what He's chosen, to speak to us. And the Holy Spirit, another place it talks about the Word of God being the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. If we don't digest, if we don't take it in, if we don't seek after it, we don't have a sword. It's like going to battle without a sword. The Holy Spirit, there's nothing there to fight with, to draw. You know, when the Lord reveals a scripture and opens it up, it's like an anchor. I mean, you can grab a hold of that and hold on to it and repeat it. And I feel like it's a good way to fight the enemy too. If we've got a a spiritual weakness, something that's been besetting us and causing us problems, if we'll memorize the scriptures that deal with that area of our life and memorize them, there is power in the Word of God. There is strength in the Word of God. And I believe when we're armed with that, there's less temptation. I believe temptation loses its power. Not that we will ever get beyond temptation, but the temptation is not so strong when the Word of God is preeminent in our minds, in our hearts. And I believe we have a responsibility there. I thought too about Jesus, where he talked about the seed that was sown. And he talked about the stony ground. He talked about the thorny ground. And he talked about the ground that had good soil, good and honest heart. You know, that is a responsibility that we have to cultivate. Another place it talks about breaking up the fallow ground. And studying that, it was just ground that was allowed to sit for a year. It gets compacted. It says, break up the fallow ground. We've got to have a place where that word is able to take root and bring forth fruit in our hearts, in our lives. I just wanted to encourage us with that today, because I believe a lot of times people struggle, people fail, and then they begin to look somewhere else for help, when God has the answers. And I believe that's a value, one of the values of us meeting together as the children of God, to help sharpen one another through one another's testimony, through what God is doing in another person's life. We're able to gain. You know, if we had to go through life and we had to find out everything and learn everything the hard way, it'd be a pretty troubling life. But if we can look and see where others have found victory and how they overcame, even maybe through their failures, then we've got an edge. We've got an advantage. We've got a blessing and a help to us. So I just wanted to encourage us today that the Word of God, it's quick, it's powerful, it works, and we want it to work in our hearts, in our lives. Appreciate your attention this morning.